and which individuals cheat. Natural selection favors genes that predispose individuals, in relationships of asymmetric need and opportunity, to give when they can and to solicit giving when they can't. It also favors tendencies to remember obligations, bear grudges, police exchange relationships, and punish cheats who take but don't give when their turn comes. For there will always be cheats, and stable solutions to the game-theoretic conundrums of reciprocal altruism always involve an element of punishment of cheats. Mathematical theory allows two broad classes of stable solutions to games of this kind. Stable means that once it exceeds a critical frequency in the population, no alternative does better. Always be nasty is stable in that if everybody else is doing it, a single nice individual cannot do better. But there is another strategy which is also stable. This is the strategy: start out being nice and give others the benefit of the doubt, then repay good deeds with good, but avenge bad deeds. In game theory language, this strategy, or family of related strategies, goes under various names, including tit-for-tat, retaliator, and reciprocator. It is evolutionarily stable under some conditions, in the sense that, given a population dominated by reciprocators, no single nasty individual and no single unconditionally nice individual will do better. There are other, more complicated variants of tit-for-tat which can, in some circumstances, do better. I've mentioned kinship and reciprocation as the twin pillars of altruism in a Darwinian world, but there are secondary structures which rest atop those main pillars. Especially in human society, with language and gossip, reputation is important. One individual may have a reputation for kindness and generosity. Another individual may have a reputation for unreliability, for cheating and reneging on deals. Another may have a reputation for generosity when trust has been built up, but for ruthless punishment of cheating. The unadorned theory of reciprocal altruism expects animals of any species to base their behavior upon unconscious responsiveness to such traits in their fellows. In human societies, we add the power of language to spread reputations, usually in the form of gossip. You don't need to have suffered personally from X's failure to buy his round at the pub. You hear on the grapevine that X is a tightwad. Or, to add an ironic complication to the example, that Y is a terrible gossip. Reputation is important, and biologists can acknowledge a Darwinian survival value in not just being a good reciprocator, but fostering a reputation as a good reciprocator too. Matt Ridley's The Origins of Virtue, as well as being a lucid account of the whole field of Darwinian morality, is especially good on reputation. Reputation is not confined to humans. It has recently been shown to apply to one of the classic cases of reciprocal altruism in animals, the symbiotic relationship between small, cleaner fish and their large fish clients. In an ingenious experiment, individual cleaner wrasse, Labroides dimidiatus, that had been observed by a would-be client to be diligent cleaners, were more likely to be chosen by the client than rival Labroides that had been observed neglecting to clean.
The Norwegian economist Thorstein Veblen, and in a rather different way, the Israeli zoologist Amot Zahavi, have added a further fascinating idea. Altruistic giving may be an advertisement of dominance or superiority. Anthropologists know it as the potlatch effect, named after the custom whereby rival chieftains of Pacific Northwest tribes vie with each other in duels of ruinously generous feasts. In extreme cases, bouts of retaliatory entertaining continue until one side is reduced to penury, leaving the winner not much better off. Veblen's concept of conspicuous consumption strikes a chord with many observers of the modern scene. Zahavi's contribution, unregarded by biologists for many years until vindicated by brilliant mathematical models from the theorist Alan Graffen, has been to provide an evolutionary version of the potlatch idea. Zahavi studies Arabian babblers, little brown birds who live in social groups and breed cooperatively. Like many small birds, babblers give warning cries, and they also donate food to each other. A standard Darwinian investigation of such altruistic acts would look first for reciprocation and kinship relationships among the birds. When a babbler feeds a companion, is it in the expectation of being fed at a later date? Or is the recipient of the favour a close genetic relative?